but John chapter 13 tonight, and I want to take a look at Christ's prediction that Peter is going to deny Christ. And I want you to be thinking as I read this passage, I want to ask this question. I'm going to read the passage, and then I'm going to ask, what are some ways that we, if we're not careful, can deny Christ today? Okay? So be thinking of that, and I'd like to hear your answer in just a moment. John chapter 13, verses 36 through 38. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word and we see the Apostle Peter, this prediction, this prophecy of yours that he would deny you, I just pray that you would help us to take to heart that we also can deny you. Help us, Father, to have hearts that are loyal, hearts that are genuinely rooted in Christ, and help us to understand how vulnerable we really are. And I pray for each person here tonight that we would center our thoughts on your greatness and center our thoughts on being genuinely loyal to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So in our day and age, how can we deny Christ? What are some ways that we can deny Christ if we're not careful? What do you think? We're not living in Peter's time. It's not like this is the night of the Last Supper. It's not like Christ is going to be crucified tomorrow. We can't deny Christ quite the way Peter did, but what are some ways that we can deny Christ in our lives if we're not careful? Darryl? By being silent. Yes, you want to expand on that? And what, silent to what? Okay, who Christ is, who we are. Or we can just be silent that, hey, I believe he's the Son of God and I'm a Christian. How else can we deny Christ? Okay, living for the world. Where we're not living for Christ, we are living for whatever this world has to offer. Excellent. What else? Kind of hard to think about sometimes, isn't it? How can we deny? What does it mean to deny Christ? Okay. Yeah. By not correcting error when we see it, right? And when we hear it, okay? Denying Christ, to deny someone means that you say that you really don't know them or that you really don't ascribe to them or that you, you're just really not a part of them. And we can deny Christ in how we speak or how we remain silent. We can deny him. We can deny Christ in all kinds of ways by our actions. And I want to talk tonight about denying Christ. What are some circumstances in which we have to be careful? How does it happen when we deny Christ? And what are some ways that we can stay away from that? Now, a lady by the name of Mary Anna Martin tells how she did something to her father that haunted her for many years to follow. Mary Anna Martin grew up in the age of the Depression or the time of the Depression. And so her dad had a hard time finding a job. And so he went from job to job to job, couldn't find anything. Finally, he became the janitor of this school. And just about that time, she turned 13. She went into seventh grade, so she went up into junior high. She didn't even know where her dad worked, but she didn't realize it was the very school that she was now attending. So she steps in as a 13-year-old, and she's trying to get into this new group of friends. And her dad was kind of an older-looking guy, kind of a smaller-looking guy, and she didn't realize that he was the janitor. And one day, she's with her new friends, and she's in the lunchroom, and somebody dropped a tray, and food went all over the place. And one of the teachers called out her dad's first and last name and said, "Hey, we need some help over here to pick up this food." And one of her friends, and so here's what her friends saw. They saw this little old man, her dad, go over there and start picking up food, and it was very embarrassing and humbling. And some of her friends said, hey, wait a minute, isn't that your last name? And she says, and they said, are you related to him? She's like, no, I have no idea who this guy is. Okay, I don't know him. Well, she felt horrible about that for many decades afterwards. Matter of fact, her dad got Alzheimer's. She felt like she had denied her dad. And I think all of us, if we stop and think about it, there are times when we have denied the Lord. You know, I can think of times when I should have said something, and I didn't. Now, praise God, I can think of times when I should have said something, and I did. But there have been some times when I stop and say, you know what, I had an opportunity right there, and I didn't take it, and I needed to take it. And sometimes we don't always live in a way. But, you know, there are some ways that we can deny Christ. Some people deny Christ in situations where they deny him in a much bigger way, and that is just going off the deep end, going off the edge, so to speak, turning totally away from the faith. And I don't think anybody here wants to be like that. So what I want to do is I want to take a look at Peter's, at this prediction that Christ makes, not really a prediction, just a statement that he's going to deny Christ, and I want to show you that he really was set up. He was setting himself up, and Satan was setting him up to deny Christ. And I want us to think about our own lives and see if there might be some situations in which we might be setting ourselves up or Satan setting us up to deny Christ. How can we avoid denying Christ? Well, first of all, I want you to see where we are in the book of John, because it's been a while. John chapter 13 really starts the Last Supper. It's a Passover feast. And all the way up to John chapter 13, through John chapter 12, it's been a series of events. It's been months. It's been a couple of years. It's been almost 3 years. And yet now, chapters 13 through 17, the Last Supper, actually, if you think about it, John 13 through 17 is just really just, it covers just a few hours. It covers one night, all right, the Last Supper. The upper room discourse, we call this. And by Jewish reckoning, this was on Thursday evening. By our reckoning, by Jewish reckoning, it was Friday. Jesus tells the disciples that he's leaving and they can't come. That really disturbs them. It's an emotional situation. He's going on to the cross. He's going to the resurrection. Not long after that, he's going to ascend into heaven. Peter can't even handle this. And so he boldly says, Lord, wherever you're going, I want to go. Wouldn't you want to do that? I mean, you've been walking with Jesus for 3 years and you're thinking, he's going to leave? I would not want that. And Jesus says, you really think you can go? And he says, you know what? I'll go wherever you go. I'll even die for you. Now, how many of us would say that? Would we be bold enough to say, I am sure that whatever's coming. Now, think about this. I don't want a show of hands, okay? How many of us could honestly say, I know that if someone walked into this church tonight, or if someone walked into my house tonight, or if somebody walked into my workplace tomorrow, or my school, well, not school, sorry, it's summertime, but walked in and held a weapon to my head or threatened to kill me, if I didn't deny Christ, how many of us could say, absolutely, I 100% would never deny Christ under any circumstances whatsoever? That's a hard thing to say, isn't it? We are weak. We are people who, without Christ, we can't make a statement like that. But that's what Peter says. He says, I'm going to lay down my life for your sake. I will do that. And so Peter here is wondering what is going to go on. And then Jesus shocks him. I think he shocks him in verse 38. And he says, really? You really, Peter, you really think that you're going to die for me? Now think about what Peter's done. He's been loyal to Christ. He has stood up to opposition for 3 years. He has stood in the face of Pharisees. He has stood up to, he's even walked with Jesus in some life-threatening situations. And here he's saying, I'll die for you. And Jesus says, really? He says, before tonight is finished, not only are you not going to die for me, you're going to deny me not once, not twice, but you're going to say you don't know me even 3 times. Now, wouldn't that bother you if you were Peter? That would bother me. So here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that the stage is set for Peter to deny Christ. And I want you to see really three things out of this passage tonight. First of all, denials often take place because of pride. I want you to see that. Denials often take place because of pride. People, Christians, will do some of the most amazingly sinful things, even deny Christ three times in one night because of pride. And that's exactly what you have going on here in this passage, because Peter is the supreme disciple. If you think about it, the Gospels are full of Peter. I mean, Peter is everywhere in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's always Peter this, Peter that. And when you look at the lists of disciples, in all four lists of the disciples in the Gospels, the full lists of the disciples, the order of the names vary for the most part, except for in the name of two disciples. You know who they are? Who's first? What? Peter. Do you think that is significant? In every single list, Peter is first, and then it just comes with this jumble. But guess who's always last? Who would you expect? Judas. That's exactly right. So in all four of the most complete lists of the disciples, we have Peter first. There is a reason. Peter is the head of the disciples. He's the leader. He's the lead disciple. He was a natural leader. The other guys, as we read through, they seem to be looking to him. They seem to be following his lead. But here's a problem. I believe that, and I want to be careful to point out that we are very much like Peter, and so I'm not hammering on Peter, but I want to say that I believe that Peter has become proud through this. Take a look. Keep your place here in John chapter 13. Turn over to Matthew chapter 26. Here's one of the reasons that I see some pride. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Matthew 26, 31. Then Jesus said to them all of you, this is Jesus talking, he's telling them, you would think Peter would listen to that, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Now look at what Peter says. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Now wait, Peter, this is Jesus talking. This is God talking. God the Son. And Peter, he's telling you that every one of you, and that you're going to fall away. And Peter said, no, you don't know. I know. I'm not going to stumble. If all these other disciples, if every one of them falls, not Peter, not me. And he says, verse 34, Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to deny you, I will not, or even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. And I see an area here that we have to watch ourselves. Apparently, Peter thinks that he can do something that the other disciples, he says, everybody else, they might deny you, but not me. Peter seems to think that if every other disciple deserts Jesus, Peter will be left standing. If they all fall, he's going to be left standing, never me. He says, I can follow you, Lord, wherever you go. And you have to admire his loyalty, don't you? You have to admire his devotion. You have to admire his passion. You've got to say, this guy was serious for Christ. Now, Peter's not alone in what he says, because verse 35 says, and so said all the disciples. So they're looking at Peter, and they're prideful too, saying, you know what, if Peter can do it, we can do it. If Peter can stand, so can we. But in light of verses 21 and 22, I think that their statements are a little bit odd, because in verse 21, now as they were eating, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each one of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? Jesus keeps telling them, you guys are going to fall away. Peter, you're going to deny me, and the rest of you are going to fall away. So a betrayal, a denial, and a falling away. Everybody's going to fall in one way or another. Either betray, deny, or just desert Christ. So, what I see in these disciples, and probably in all of us, is a sense where maybe sometimes we set ourselves up to fall by thinking we're stronger than we really are. And we might allow ourselves to get into situations where we say, you know, Lord, I wouldn't betray you. And to say that we'd never deny Jesus is probably a huge overestimation of our power. Probably for us, if we say, I would never under any circumstances, probably for us is we don't understand the power of our flesh, and we seem to think that we're stronger than we really are. It's always good to hear people make outspoken statements for Christ like Peter does, but you know what? Better than making promises is to pray. To say, Lord, instead of saying, I will never deny you, to say, Lord, help me to never deny you. Right? Isn't that a better statement? Instead of saying, I am so strong and I can do this and I can, you know what? Just say, Lord, would you please help me not to remain silent? Would you please help me, no matter what the obstacles, no matter what comes against me, that I will stand for you? There were a couple of Christians many years ago, and I'm sorry, I don't remember their names, but I believe they're in Fox's Book of Martyrs. And there were these two Christians. They were being held one night in a prison. They were going to be executed the next day. And one of them is talking to the other, and the one is saying, I'm afraid that tomorrow, when we come to be executed, I'm afraid I'm going to deny Christ. And the other one looks at him and he says, how can you possibly be afraid of that? How can you even think of denying Christ? I would never do that. Well, what do you think happened the next day? The one who was afraid that he was going to deny Christ stepped up and was executed holding loyally to Christ. And the other one who said he would never deny Christ did indeed deny Christ. Denials often take place because of pride. So how can you avoid denials? Start praying instead of promising. Pray. Lord, I am weak. You are strong. Give me the strength. We're over here in Matthew chapter 26. We see Jesus in this very chapter telling his disciples to pray. Look at chapter 26, Matthew 26, verse 40. Matthew 26, verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane, right after the meal, right after Jesus has told Peter, you're going to deny me. And what is Peter doing? He's sleeping. And Jesus says, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We've got to remember that. Our flesh is weak. We are capable of every sin known. So we've got to stop and we've got to pray. We don't want to set ourselves up for a fall by being proud. We want to be loyal to Christ by humbly saying, you know what, Lord, I need your help. So Peter is sleeping. He says, I'll give you my life, Lord. I will die for you. I will not fall. I will not turn away. And yet he can't even stay asleep and pray, or stay awake and pray. So denials come as a result of pride very often. You see, when you hear of pastors, and I just heard of a well-known speaker from Proverbs 31 Ministries. She and her husband have broken up. And you'd think, man, this could never happen to them. Now listen, that can happen to all of us. We have to be careful. We have to be humble and say, Lord, I need your help. My kids need your help. They're not perfect. I need your help. I'm not perfect. Our marriage needs help. Our church, our family, at my workplace, we need your help. So first of all, denials often come as a result of pride. Now let's go back to John chapter 13. I want you to see, secondly, that denials take place under stress and in the midst of crisis, very often. In the midst of stress or crisis, the pressure comes probably for Peter and the other disciples around midnight on that Thursday night or Friday by Jewish reckoning. A Jewish mob ready to fight shows up. You know the story. They've been sent by the chief priests and the elders of the people. They show up, and with them is the high priest's slave, Malchus. Peter is holding true to his word, right? He pulls out his sword. He cuts off Malchus's ear, and he thinks, I'm going to die with Christ. But this is a very stressful situation, and they all desert except or every single one of them, according to Matthew chapter 26, verse 56, they all desert, every single one of them. Now, you have to give Peter some credit because he does come back to Christ, and I should have had you keep your place. I apologize. Go back to Matthew chapter 26 for a second. Matthew chapter 26, I want you to see how this really happens with Peter. Matthew 26, verse 69. All the other disciples, they run away, and yet Peter comes back. Verse 69, and there they are. Peter's trying to stand strong. Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to him, those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. So you got Peter, probably John, who's standing loyal to Christ as well. But Peter finally caves in. Stress. Now I want you to put together this night for Peter. Is Peter, has he gotten a lot of sleep that night? It's probably about midnight or later. Early watch is the morning. No, he hasn't slept all night. As a matter of fact, let's put the time frame together. The Last Supper begins around what time Thursday night? Anybody have any ideas? Probably about 6 o'clock, okay? So the meal probably lasts about 3 hours, so now it's 9 o'clock p.m. Then they go for an hour or two for prayer. So Jesus is arrested probably anywhere from 10 o'clock to midnight. Taken to the home of Caiaphas, he's put on for questioning, and he's there, and here's where Peter gives his denials, and the rooster crows. Now, here's a question. When does a rooster crow? How many of you are farmers? What time do they crow? Morning, right? Now, let me ask you a question. We're all thinking like American roosters around here, right? American roosters crow at what time? Daylight. Okay, right? Well, guess what? Did you know that the Romans in ancient times had a term? It was called the cock crow. And the cock crow referred to the watch of the night that was between midnight and 3 a.m. And I can't tell you exactly why these ancient Mideastern roosters would crow at that kind of time of the night. But between midnight and 3 a.m., they started crowing. So much so that the Romans called it the cock crow watch, all right? We have records of that. So sometime between midnight and 3 a.m. is probably when Peter gives his denials. So within a matter of hours, over the course of just a portion of a night, Peter goes from saying, "I promise I will not deny you," to now he's denied Jesus three times. How quickly, if we don't pray, and if we don't surrender ourselves to the Lord, and if we don't say, "Lord, I'm under stress, I'm under pressure to cave in, and Lord, I can't do this, I need your help," how quickly we can deny the Lord. You have a lack of sleep, watch out. If you're hungry, watch out. If you're angry, you've heard the HALT. Has anybody heard the HALT acronym? If you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, you are vulnerable. Okay? Can we all say that? HALT. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Let's say it again. Okay, because some of you are just going, "Oh, I think you're tired." No, anyway, sorry, that was a joke. It was to wake you up. Everybody awake? All right, let's say it together. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. HALT. Watch out. You're vulnerable, right? That's what's happening with Peter, I believe. He's tired. He's kind of lonely because Jesus has just said he's going to leave. And he might be kind of angry. He's angry at these chief priests and their servants. And so he's vulnerable. And so we have to watch out. Did you know, and you've probably heard, that studies have shown that when people, when they're lonely, when they move to a new location, they are more vulnerable to fall spiritually than at other times. When we go to a new school, when we go to a new location, when we have a new job, we are vulnerable. When we're sleep deprived, we are just so weak. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired. Halt. Be careful. There was a strong Chinese Christian leader who was undergoing a lot of interrogation. And finally, he thought if he would just deny Christ, if he'd just give up and just deny Christ, you know, these guys would let him live. And sure enough, that's what he did. He finally just said, I don't know Christ, let me live. And those Chinese officials did let him live. But about 20 years later, as he was dying on his deathbed, he cried and he encouraged people. He said, you know what? He says, you don't know what the last 20 years have been like for me. I thought I could live, but you know what? The last 20 years have been just death for me. It's been darkness. I denied Christ. And so I think we all ought to just stop and say, you know what? We think it's the easy way. We think it's the easy way to do what Peter did. And at that point for him, you know, just deny Christ. Say a few cuss words. Swear a little bit. Make it sound like you don't belong to Christ. And that's the easy way out. Well, it wasn't the easy way. Now, what I want you to see is the last thing, and that is this. We've seen that, first of all, denials come because of pride. I think that Peter and probably all of us become proud and think that we're stronger than we really are, know more that than we really do. Under stress, we become vulnerable to denying Christ, turning away, not being loyal. But I want you to see, thirdly, that denials should never keep us from going forward with Christ. Now, I want you to notice, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, because Jesus says something in his warning of Peter that kind of had to give Peter hope. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And I want you to put yourself in Peter's shoes. What would it be like to deny Christ? Luke 22, denials should never keep us from going forward with Christ. So if you're Peter, you've denied Christ, and what are you thinking? Man, I have blown it. I can't go back. I've messed up so badly that Jesus won't take me back. But look at Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, and this is once again just Luke's account of Jesus telling Peter that he's going to deny Christ, but he adds a little something here. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Now look at this. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Can you imagine how that would give Peter hope after he denied Christ? I'm sure that Peter, when he denied Christ, he went out and he just thought, what have I done? And then he remembers Jesus said, when you've returned, strengthen my brothers. What's Jesus saying? Come on back. Turn back to me. When we have been unfaithful to the Lord, when we've been proud, when we've allowed stress, and when we've allowed ourselves to cave in, and when we've allowed situations to cause us to do something that is not pleasing to the Lord, it's time to come back. And so Jesus is giving Peter a real set of hope. He's saying that you can come back. You might have denied him. You might have done something that you say that cannot be forgiven, but Christ is telling you, and you need to get back on assignment, on God's assignment for your life. Later on, in John, Lord willing, we're going to hit chapter 21 and we're going to see where Peter and Jesus finally do come together at that final breakfast. And they come together and Jesus says, Peter, feed my sheep. He says, get back on assignment. And that's what we need to do. When we've messed up, get back on assignment. Get back on our feet. You've said or done something you shouldn't have done. Okay, fall on your face and confess it before God and get back moving. Today's a new day. This minute is a new minute. Get started back again. So now, if you look at your life and you look at some of these denials, I want to maybe put this into perspective. I've mentioned this guy on a number of occasions, and I just saw his name in Christian news again this last week, Saeed Abedini. Everybody remember Saeed? Okay. Who is Saeed Abedini? Somebody tell me. Okay, he was a prisoner in Iraq, right? Or in Iran. And he was a pastor, right? And you remember, we prayed for him as a church for a long time. I don't remember. How long was he in prison? Anybody remember? It was a long time. And we prayed, and he was released. His wife really tried to get him released, called for prayer. He gets back, and we find out that he's really not who we thought he was, right? Into a life of pornography, abusing his wife, just really denial of living for Christ. But let me ask you this question. And even this last week, he's at odds with a lot of Christians at this point. He's really not living in a way that's pleasing to Christ. But could even Saeed come back? Could he? He sure could. If he just comes before the Lord and say, Lord, I caved. I wasn't living like I should have, and I caved, and I gave in, and I messed up, and I don't want to deny you with the way I live anymore. Would you bow your heads? I think we need to do more praying and less promising. And if we've fallen away from the Lord, we need to come back. And I think that if the Lord can bring back Peter, he can bring back us. And I think if the Lord can bring back other people, surely he can bring back you. So would you come before the Lord and just once again pledge your loyalty to him? Would you once again ask him and say, Lord, I could fall away at a moment. Would you please keep me true? And would you confess those sins that might be keeping you from being close to Jesus Christ? And if you don't know Christ, if you're not sure of where you're going to spend eternity, then commit your life to him as well in that way, receiving him into your life as Savior. Father, we come before you and we need to say sometimes in just a way that we don't understand, 1 minute we can be standing for you and the next minute we can be denying you. Forgive us, Lord. Help us, Father, that we would understand how weak we are. Help us to understand just how really, just like Peter, we really are, that 1 minute we are professing your name, and the next minute we can even be calling down curses. And so I pray, Father, that each one here, that in our lives, our families, that we would be loyal to you. And Father, I just pray that we would not become proud, but that we would be ones who walk faithfully until we see you in eternity. And it's in the strong name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we ask it. Amen.